Well, how awesome and how worthy God is of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When you were, he's disappeared. He's been translated. When you were singing the birthday song this morning about when you got the Holy Ghost, how many of you had a flashback? You could see it. You could feel it. So powerful, those moments when we got the Holy Ghost and when we got baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Brother Stringfellow, we're just delighted that you're here tonight. And we want you to come and take your liberty. If you appreciated the word of God in the house this morning, clap your hands and lift your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And what we want you to do is come and take your liberty. And whatever the Holy Ghost tells you, that's what you want to do. Because we don't want to fool around. We want to have church. We want you to say what the Holy Ghost has told you. Point at him and tell him, you preach to me, preacher.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Y'all a rowdy bunch. I told them this morning that the key to having good church is to be sitting by the right kind of people. And some of you weren't in here, and you might have missed that. But I want you to just one more time here on this Sunday night, greet those that are around you and tell them, I'm glad you're sitting by me tonight. If you're sitting by me, I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. And if you're a little dead, cold, dry, frigid air saint, just do like we do in the hood. Throw your finger up, slip out, get your drink of water, come back in, sit somewhere else. Well, y'all excited. Well, at least we got something to be excited over. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I once was blind, but now I see. And that's enough for me to get excited over. Well, I need to preach, but I feel like this thing wouldn't take much. Something good's getting ready to happen in this place. Yes, it is. It's all right, my brother Ron, if you got to run by yourself, but something good's getting ready to happen in this place. That's all right. The Bible said, weep with those that weep, but go ahead and rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Something good is getting ready to happen in this place. Well, somebody clap your hands and give the Lord great praise in this sanctuary here tonight. May be seated. I give honor to the pastor of this wonderful church for the privilege and the opportunity to come share the word of the Lord with you. I will say everything they told me about you is true. One preacher friend of mine told me, he said, man, you're going to love it. He said, now they scared me to death. He said, but you're going to love it. He said, because they just as crazy as you are. So I guess we can be crazy together. I do give honor to your pastor. What a wonderful, wonderful church. I bring you greetings from the hood, right in the heart of Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. But it is a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. And I do believe great things are in store for this assembly. There's a wonderful spirit of worship and praise and anticipation in this place.
God is doing great things. And somebody that's glad to be a part of this church. Hey, there's people watching this service all over the United States and across the world. Let them know right now that you go to the greatest church in Alabama. There you go. Anybody excited to be a part of this church? I didn't mean to start nothing. Get a Bible in your hand. I can see. I better say what I'm going to say quick, because the book of First Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Bless you, Lord Jesus. I bless you, Lord Jesus. Book of First Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. If you're there, would you say, praise the Lord? Take my text from the 13th verse here tonight. Now, most people read this at a funeral service. We're not in a funeral service here tonight. But the writer said in the 13th verse that I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We believe that Jesus died, rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. But this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are, somebody shout alive. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not dead yet. The same spirit that invaded a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and quickened to life again a body that had been dead for 3 days is living inside of you. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're not dead yet. There's one reason God gave you a body, and that was so that you could express the life that was in that body. Right, it said, we which are alive and remain. Said, we're not going to prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall, not might or could or maybe, hope so, maybe so, might be, they shall rise first. This is where you come in, verse number 17, then we which are, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My permission to preach this message is found in the 18th verse when the writer said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for this wonderful congregation of people that stand before me in this place. I just ask you tonight, Father, to help me say something that would make a difference where they live. Do what only you can do in this place tonight. And do it as only you can do it. I'm going to give your name praise in advance for what you're going to do in this place. And somebody lift your voice and say, in Jesus' name. Put that Bible down and give the Lord great praise in this place one more time. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord here this evening. If you stand again, it'll be on you. Amen. The hour in which we live is a very historic hour. The signs of our times are so significant. As we begin to see the saga of the end unfold, we are living tonight in an era of faith. And faith's greatest foe, as our enemy begins with his incessant attack to continue to rally his troops against our allies of truth and righteousness and trust, we watch as he reaches once more for his greatest weapons, those that have been tried and been found true. As education suddenly teaches our children its scientific methods, methods that encourage them to question everything, to doubt everything. We watch as it seems another generation begins to fall prey once more by rather insisting upon the empirical truths, the facts and figures and books and numbers to the answers to the questions of their lives. Situational ethics finds its hold upon the hearts of the culture of our society, saying to us that there really is no right, that there is no wrong, that there is only the shifting sand of situation. It's promissory facts that are found in the Word of God and now skeptically analyzed in so-called schools of higher learning is not much more than fiction in some fairy tale. And it would seem to the carnal minds of men that faith has indeed been dealt its final blow. But can I tell you that the hour in which we live is not in fact faith's first encounter with the spirits of unbelief in this generation. But can I say to you tonight that I feel our God stands poised. Just as he did before the greatest doubter of his day when he pulled back his robe and began to reveal the blue tissue of his wounds before one you'll remember as doubting Thomas. When he says to Thomas, take your hand and touch the nail prints, take your hand and thrust it into my spear, pierced side. And you remember the story when Thomas touched him, his doubt died and Jesus rebukes him and he says to him, Thomas, you have believed because of what your eyes have seen. But then I think he pauses for just a moment and he begins to preach to you and I as he says to Thomas, there are those who are coming after you. Oh, I feel like preaching just a little bit. I want you to know, Thomas, there are those that are coming after you. Their eyes have not seen what your eyes have seen. And their ears have not heard what your ears have heard. But it is to that generation that I would say, blessed is he who have not seen, but yet he has believed. Christopher Columbus stood at the edge of an ocean and noticed that when those ships set sail, that all he could see were the tops of the sails and the mass of the ship. And Columbus theorized that the earth must not be flat as we suppose. There must be a curvature to the earth. And with that theory, he set sail with no assurity. But he found a world that had existed all the time. He found a continent that was just as real as the country of England and the country of Spain and the country of France. Its soil was just as solid, its trees just as green, its people's blood ran just as red. And someone said of Columbus that when he got where he was going, he did not know where he was.
When he got back home, he didn't even know where he'd been. But he believed in a world he'd never seen before. I never stood in the jungles of Vietnam. I never heard the sound of machine gun fire rattling over my head. I never saw the exploding of the grenades. I never listened to the screams of dying young men as they stared into the last sky that they would ever see. But I do believe Vietnam was a very real place. I don't think for one moment it was some conspiracy of Washington to cause America to believe that 56,000 American boys just fell off the face of the earth. I don't have to hear the sound of the artillery whining over my head to know that Vietnam was a very real place, because there is perhaps men that are standing in this building here tonight that could testify that Vietnam was a very real world. Albert Einstein coined a mathematical formula that said E equals MC squared years before they ever invented a microscope that was powerful enough to prove that atoms really existed. Einstein stated that all around us was a nuclear world. He was scorned to shame. A science of his day lived and died and never saw one nuclear atom. But if I were to stand in your presence here tonight and say that a nuclear world does not exist, then 200,000 men, women, and children that lost their lives in Hiroshima and Nagasaki would climb out of their grave to call me a liar, because there are worlds that you've never seen before. And hear me tonight when I tell you none of the illustrations that I have used in this place here tonight this far are as urgent or as insistent as the world that I want to preach to you about in the next 20 minutes. Will you stay with me? Let me just preempt myself tonight with a question. Is there anybody here still old-fashioned enough that you still believe in a place called heaven? Just checking out my crowd. Don't want to waste your time. Heard an evangelist say not too long ago, he was, in his words, stunned by a conversation that he had between he and a man who came to the altar one night. When he asked this man, "Sir, would you like to go to heaven?" And this man's response to him was, "What's so great about heaven that I'd want to go?" See, I, much like many of you, were reared around the church most of all my life, and it just conceded to the fact that everybody knew what heaven was and that everybody wanted to go. But let me just ask you here tonight, if there's somebody here that really doesn't know, if your next breath were to be your last, where you would spend eternity, would you allow this evangelist here tonight, in the next few moments, to try and convince you that you don't want to miss heaven? Maybe I got a few old school folks in here tonight that could testify with this preacher that you don't want to miss heaven. See, I got my work cut out tonight, but I'm still young enough. I remember when they used to get excited about heaven. Well, that's some old school stuff right there, isn't it? I remember when we used to sing a lot of songs about heaven, when we used to preach a lot of messages about heaven. I remember back in testimonies, back when we used to have testimonies, back before people lost their mind. We can't have testimony service in the hood, because we got brand new people that don't know that you're supposed to pick the parts of your testimony that you tell. There's some of you in here been saved long enough. If you testified, you could highlight all the pretty parts and we'd think you'd always been saved. We got a few folks in the heart of Dallas-Fort Worth that'll get up and tell their true testimony. So we had to cut testimony out. Now, before you sit there and act real spiritual, there's some stuff you did that if it were to start flashing up there on the silver screen. So don't act too spiritual with me. But I remember back in the old days when we'd have testimony service and them old folks got their little hair pawed up in a little bun on the back of their head on a walker or a cane, and they'd say,
Pastor, one of these old days. Oh, y'all don't want none of that. See, the reason you're so tied up in where you are right now is you forgot where it is you're going. The reason some of you can't even get in the service here tonight is because the enemy has somehow distracted you from the place that God has already prepared for you. Let me ask you one more time. Does anybody really believe in a place called heaven? I remember when they'd get excited in testimony service and they'd say, "Preacher, the walls are made out of jasper. Talk to me, somebody. And the gates are made out of pearl." And they finally just get exasperated, throw their hands up in the air and say, "Preacher," like the preacher didn't know. Like they're giving the preacher a Bible study. They say, "All I can tell you is the streets of that city are even going to be made out of the purest." Let me just tell you before I waste too much more of your time. You didn't come to church tonight out of ritual. And you didn't come here tonight out of routine. And you didn't come here because you didn't want to stay home and watch the Saints game. You came here tonight because you're building up treasure that moth and dust cannot corrupt. And the thieves can break through and steal. Let me ask you one more time. Is there anybody here that really, I mean from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, that really wants to go to heaven? I wish somebody put your hands together right now and praise Him according to your desire. You want to go? You still hadn't convinced me yet. I said, is there anybody in this building on a Sunday night in Birmingham, Alabama that wants to? I mean, you want to go more than you want your next breath. You want to go more than you want to see the rising of the sound of the going. Turn around, shake two or three hands like you're going to shake them off and tell them, "I want to go to heaven. How about you?" Didn't come to see, didn't come to be seen. Didn't come to church because I didn't have nothing else to do. But I came here because my faith and my trust and my confidence is not down here. The old folks sing songs like "This World." Oh, talk to me, somebody. This world is not my home. I'm just a... See, Revelation 21 verse number 4 says that God shall wipe away all of the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain, for the former things will pass away. There's people now getting excited over buying a new car, living in a new house. Let me tell you, what you ought to get excited about is the fact that one of these old days, there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more heart attacks, and there'll be no more cancer, and there'll be no more polio to cripple an innocent child, and there'll be no more HIV wards, and no more respirators, and IVs, and wheelchairs. But the Bible says in the moment, in the twinkling, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump shall sound, and the Bible said the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the book said, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And I hear somebody preaching in my head saying, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" Let me just ask one more question. Is anybody here got somebody waiting on you over there? I got a phone call. You can be seated. There's some folks can't see. I got a phone call. A few years ago, for my mother, with tears in her voice, and my father, 52 years of age, had been in a car accident, lived 3 days,
3 days after, one phone call can wreck your world. One phone call, 3 days later, I'm walking by a casket and saying goodbye to my father, 52 years old. At 35, 52 is looking young. But can I tell you that when we stood by that 6-foot gaping hole in the ground and death said it's over, death lied to you. Can I tell you, standing there in the ICU ward holding your loved one's hand as they breathe their last breath and hell said it's over, because there's coming a great getting up morning. You know what John said? John said, I saw kindred. Can I put it in some southern vernacular you can understand? He said, I saw your kinfolks. I saw mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. You talk about a family reunion. Them old folks sing a song and say, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, kinfolk gathered round that throne. I just want you to know your last goodbyes weren't said. And your last farewells were not given. But in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there's going to be a family reunion like you've never seen before. Is anybody got somebody waiting on you when you get there? I don't know about you, but that's why I'm glad that I've already been to the water and that I've already been baptized, because I got more to go to heaven for than. That's why they used to sing stuff like, won't we have a time when we get over yonder? But can I tell you, family reunions, that's really not going to be the greatest thing about heaven. The Bible said the walls are there. You know what? I would tell you to sit down, but I didn't tell you to stand up. So just, I'm going to preach. Y'all ready? The Bible said the walls of that city are made out of jasper. Heard a minister say he was overseas and he wanted to pick up a little something and bring it back for his wife. He walked into a very elite, very classy, very nice retail store, picked up a little carving. He says, about this tall, look nice. Thought I'd bring that back to my wife. You know, we need all the brownie points we can get, because most of us stay in trouble most of the time. That's all right. You just sit there and stare straight ahead and look real spiritual. Nobody know you ever been in trouble. You was in trouble on the way to church and you just got here and shouted anyway. Punch your husband, say he's coming where you are. Preaching about heaven and still meddling with you. He said he just picked it up, walked over to check out counter, set it on the counter. Said, ma'am, I'd like to purchase that item. She said, sure. She said, that'll be $68,000. I know you just whip out, pay cash for it. Drop your platinum. He said, I got pride like anybody else. He said, I didn't want her to think I couldn't buy it if I wanted to buy it. He said, but I did ask the question. He said, ma'am, he said, why is this like $60,000? She said, well, that was because it was hand-carved by a very famous architect, hand-carved out of jasper. He said, I just picked it up, walked back over where I found it. and set it back down. Turned to walk out of the store, and she said, "Sir, you don't want to purchase that item?" He said, "I never broke stride." Just said, "No, ma'am. I already got enough, Jasper." She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Ma'am, my dad is building me a house right now that the walls around that city are made." Is there anybody here that really, I mean really? You want to go? I mean really. You want to go? You want to go bad enough to forget about what they said about you? There's people backslid, haven't been to a church in 20-something years because something somebody said. Let me just talk to somebody in this building right now that the enemy is trying to use some little something to pull you out of the church. Let me tell you, it's not worth it. I said, it's not worth it. You've cried too many tears. You prayed too many prayers. You've come to the house of God and worship and given God praise too. For the enemy to come in right now and begin to steal what it is that God has already prepared for you. I wish somebody would clap your hands right there in the face of every devil in hell that's trying to pull you out and say, "By the name, by the word, and by the blood of Jesus, I've come too far to turn back now." I wish somebody would give God some praise like you want to go. See, the devil thinks he's got you right there where he wants you. He thinks he's got you intimidated, and he's got you ostracized, and he's got you discouraged. God, somebody in this building tonight would rise up out of the ashes of defeat and say, "That city's got 12 foundations built four square, 1,500 miles this way, that way, this way, that way. According to science, it's 125 miles out of sight of the natural eye. Could I pave some streets in that city?" Y'all might as well sit down. We're going to be a while. If the streets in that city were 1 mile apart and that city is 1,500 miles square, it'd take about 4,500,000 miles of street per level. And if gold was $600 an ounce, and of course 12 ounces of gold would make a pound, it'd take about 600 pounds of gold to pave 1 square foot. That'd be about $4,320,000 U.S. dollars. I see that really impressed you. And if we paved a 12-inch strip that was $600 an ounce, it'd be about $86,400,000 U.S. dollars to pave a street that was that wide. I didn't want to make it wider because I didn't want y'all leaving saying I was evangelistically speaking. Means that 1 mile, just 1 mile of a 12-inch street would be worth $456,192,000,000 U.S. dollars. And then you got 1,500 miles of street. If you're going to pay the whole street, they tell me it's $684,288,000,000 dollars per street. But remember, you got 3,000 streets to pave. I can tell that really impressed you too. I'm talking about a combined wealth of the United States, France, and England together to pave 1 mile of a 12-inch street that's going to run right down through the middle of a city you're going to call home. And the devil's thinking, the devil's got you thinking about backsliding. And the devil's got you thinking about throwing in the towel. The devil is a liar. And he is the, hey, not now, not here, not ever. God has already.
Well, somebody tell him, but that ain't the greatest thing. Jesus said, in my Father's house, many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. No, mansions may not impress you either. But if you're living in an efficiency apartment, or a single wide trailer with 6 kids, let me get back in my notes. It'll push you up out of a pew when you hear a preacher say, one of these days, he's going to put a key in your hand and say, which one do you want?
Nah, you don't want to go.
You just still sitting there grinning at me.
I got to preach, though. I get a little fight in your spirit because the enemy is doing everything he can to try to discourage you out of where he should have been.
Somebody's got to get your foot on a rock, and you got to get your mind made up. Let me just put it to you like this. Everything that you've ever seen, he made it in 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I know y'all surprised I can count that high being from Mississippi, but you know, I can't get to 10 every now and then. He did everything that you've ever seen. All that stuff you went on vacation and sent your mom and them. Can I say your mom and them in Alabama? All that stuff you sent postcards back to your mom and them. Because you told all that. They ain't going to believe this. Old folks group out of my home church took old folks. I'm talking about load them up like 105. I don't know how old they was. Some of them on walkers, some of them half breathing on oxygen. Got on a church van and went to the Grand Canyon. Half of them ain't never been out of the state of Mississippi. So we going to the Grand Canyon at 85. Crazy. Like the oldest one on the group. I was going to say, can you imagine how many times they had to stop to go to the bathroom? But I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to say it because y'all ain't taping this, are you? Oldest one on the group rolled a walker out to the edge of the Grand Canyon. They said, Memo, what you think? She said, it's the biggest ditch I ever seen. Everything you've ever seen, he made in 6 days. He's been gone 2,000 years. Can you imagine what eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the place that God has prepared. Shake somebody else's hand, ask them one more time, you want to go? I mean, shake it like you're going to shake it off. Ask somebody else, you want to go? Ask somebody else, you want to go? You what? Hey, I don't come to church for a social club. I joined AAA. I've come to this building here tonight because I believe that there's a trumpet going to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall be raised. But then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Oh, clap your hands like you want to go, somebody. Somebody shout, I want to go. Somebody shout, I want to go. Then go ahead and give God some praise like you believe what you just said. You want to go bad enough to fight the devil? You want to go bad enough to stand up in front of peer pressure and naysayers? And I heard a crazy song not too long ago said, everybody want to go to heaven, but ain't nobody want to go right now. And I know you ain't ever heard it. Because you're so spiritual. You don't know who Kenny Chesney is. I'm sorry. I don't know why God called me to preach, because I'm too honest. I just say stuff I shouldn't. I was on a plane coming out of Rialto, California. Sat down on the plane. And I got so many freaking flyer miles, they usually upgrade me. But I was sitting there. Plane's packed. One seat left on the plane. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to stretch back, kick back, stretch my legs. I got an extra seat right here beside me. I'm going to enjoy the flight back to Dallas. I look up, and here comes Osama bin Laden's twin brother. Y'all really taping this? Rag around his head and everything, I'm thinking. I'm like, dude, you had to pick today, didn't you? Guess where you're sitting? Sister Hope in the seat there beside me. Folds his little tray out. And you know how we're embarrassed to carry our Bible. They're not ashamed of that Quran. Lays his little cloth out. Takes out his Quran, lays it out. Reaches in the bag. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm watching people since that tennis shoe guy. I hate to say I choke him, but I lay hands on him real good. In the name of Jesus. It come down to him blowing up my plane. I just had to repent later. Say, like, oh, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I choke Bin Laden on. No. I'm on this flight. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he reaches in his bag, pulls out these beads, lifts them up in the air, and goes to shaking them. Rolls his eyes back in his head. It starts going. I look behind me, and there's two old boys look like they're from Alabama. Had their camouflage. I don't know what they're doing in California. Hunting something. Trying to shoot something with a 30-06. That's what they're doing. Got their cap tacoed in the front. Go ahead, grin. Y'all know something. Got their rebel flag in the back glass. Red neck. I look over my shoulder to see if anybody else is enjoying what I'm enjoying. And there's Larry the cable guy, and he's going, watch him. Watch him. I know you don't know who Larry is either. Just sit there and act spiritual. Like, man, watch him. I'm staring at him. We start going up, and this joker gets anointed. I'm talking about, hey, and I'm like, man, he's going to blow up the plane in a minute. I already said Hail Marys and said goodbye to my kids. And oh, dude. And that's really when you find out whether or not you believe in all these heaven messages. That's really when you find out if it's just a uncha, 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 uncha. That's really when you find out if you just dance it to the beat of a drum, or whether you believe what Paul said when he began to take a pen in hand and say, whether I live or whether I die, I belong.
what Jesus said? He said, in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. But you know what he said? Be a good cheer. Because he said, I've already overcome. Ereba sereba. I've already overcome every false god, every false doctrine. I said on the plane, I said, you know what? My God's greater than that God. I might as well go ahead and kick my seat back and get me some sleep on the way to Dallas. Because here's the cool thing about being filled with the Spirit of God. Is the fact that if you close your eyes over here. Y'all really believe that stuff or y'all just show up at church? If we really believe what we say we believe when we close our eyes over here. We open them over there. And the writer said, if I had hope in this life only, he said, I'd be of all men most miserable. But he said, I got a home that's waiting on the other side that when I get... Hey, I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, I can't wait to see this church in heaven. Because if you do any more over there than you already do right here, stop somebody and tell them I'm just warming up. You haven't seen me shout. You haven't seen me dance. You haven't seen me clap my hands. You haven't seen me run there. You haven't seen nothing. When I get over there and I hear him say, enter in to the glory. Evangelist, I'm just not an emotional type person. Who said that? Come on up here with me. He said, I am. I promise you, they're not going to put him in the quiet section in heaven. As a matter of fact, I don't really think there's going to be no quiet section in heaven. Because after all the hell you've been through, and all the tears you cried, and all the pain, let me tell you, if you ever hear him say, well done, well done, well done. There's going to be some dancing. There's going to be some shouting. Somebody warm up a little bit and give God 30 seconds of some real Holy Ghost praise in here on a Sunday night. Somebody take 30 seconds and act like down here what you gonna act like when you get over there and give him some radical praise in the house of the Lord on this Sunday night. Come on, musicians. Come on, praise team. There's somebody in here. The devil's had them bound and the enemy's had them discouraged and they thought they was going to give up. But the worst mistake the devil ever made was letting you walk back through those double doors because I feel some faith. Give me a little power on my mic. Get me up over the praise. The walls of that city, 216 feet. 216 feet thick. Could I put some rooms in that city before I leave? To keep it low enough that a country boy can still say it. Imagine if the rooms in that city were 1 cubic mile. You ever seen a room that was a cubic mile? Me neither, but I got to keep the number low. If they were that small, 1 mile long, 1 mile wide, 1 mile high, there'd still be 3 billion, 375 million rooms in that city. That's for all those folks that think fewer is purer. And we're just going to take a little measly handful of folks across that threshold of glory land. Hey, that isn't what my Bible preaches. John said, I saw a number, and they were coming out of every nation. They were coming out of every color. They were coming out of every creed. Well, let me tell Birmingham, Alabama, this ain't a white church. This ain't a black church. This isn't a Hispanic church. This is God's church. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. I don't think that when we get up there, there's going to be this little white section. And over here, there's going to be a black section. And over here, there's going to be a Hispanic section. I want you to grab somebody by the hand that ain't the same color as you. And let me go ahead and tell hell that when I get to heaven, I'm going to take the hand of a black man. I'm going to take the hand of a Hispanic man. And won't we have a time when we get over yonder? We've been through the flood and we've been through the fire. But one of these days... $3 billion, 375 million rooms in that city. I'm not talking about a segregated city. I'm not talking about a small city. No wonder the Bible said the Lamb will have to be the light. I don't think Motel 6 is going to be able to handle it. I don't think Tom Baudet's going to be able to leave the light on for you. GE and Atmos, leave them behind. It's the Lamb. Can I give you something else before I turn you loose? If you started visiting, the mansions, started visiting the rooms of heaven, if you started visiting them on the day that God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, I'm talking about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and one quarter days a year, and not sleeping by now, 6,000 years later, you would have only visited 52,570,000. 560 rooms. You've been there 6,000 years and that's all you've seen. To give you an idea, you got 3,322,529,444 rooms left to see. And you've been there 6,000 years. Let me just simplify the math. You've been visiting one room after another, one mansion after another mansion, 6,000 years, and you have seen 1.5% of all of heaven there is to see. You want to go? Come here, my brother. You've been yelling at me all night. You why I'm sweating so bad.
I'm out of here.
I want you to shout it where hell can hear you.
I want you to shout, I want to go to heaven.
I want to go to heaven.
Say it again.
I want to go to heaven.
Say it again.
I want to go to heaven.
Go ahead, act like it just a little bit. Somebody put your hands up to your mouth and shout it. I want to go. Shout it again.
I want to go to heaven.
Ask all the men folk.
I wonder, is there any ladies in this house that's ready to get red hot and radical and say,
if I were the devil, I'd be shaking in my shoes right now. Because there's some people in this building. He thought he had you right there. But something has started stirring in your spirit.
Say devil.
I ain't gonna miss it. If mama don't want it, I want it. If daddy don't want it, I want it. If children don't want it, I want it. If family don't want it, I want it. I want somebody to throw your hands in the air. Throw your head back, lift your voice and shout. Come on, shout it where the devil can hear you. Shout it wherever demon reprobate robed in flesh can hear you. Shout it. Shout it. Now clap your hands and give it praise.
You know what? I've been preaching, talking about I want to go to heaven. But you know what? I think I'd like to take another step, if that's all right. I want you to turn back and tell them same people that you wanted to go, that you're going to go. Slap somebody else and tell them I'm going to go. Backsliding is not an option. Giving up is not an option. Throwing in the towel is not an option.
Everybody get a hold of somebody. Everybody get a hold of somebody. I want you to forget about what's waiting on you on the job tomorrow. I want you to block out of your mind all the stuff that's waiting on you when you get home. All the bills that hadn't been paid and problems in your job, problems in your family. I want you to just block out every distraction that the enemy's tried to use to hinder you this last week. And for just a moment of time, I want us to give God some high praise in this house. Not over where we've been. Not over where we are. But I want you to take that hand you're holding, throw it up high in the sky, and give God some praise over where you're going right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Not by might, nor by power,
but by my spirit, there's somebody. Come on, praise your way out. When I get inside the gate, no more worry, no more pain, no more fear. The only thing that's going to be going on up there is somebody's going to be crying. Holy.
You're in this building, and the enemy's been fighting you. It seems like all the hell itself been coming against you. But you're ready to settle some things before you walk out of this building here tonight. Turn around, look over your left shoulder for me. Take a good long look. Look back up here at me. Turn around, look over your right shoulder. That's it. Help those don't know their left from their right. There's people just looking around, just looking. Just looking. Look over your right shoulder. Look back up here at me. Why don't you let that be the last time? That you ever. There's nothing behind you but pain. There's nothing behind you but heartache. There's nothing behind you but the world. If you really, I mean really, not just kind of hope so, maybe so, might be so. If you're here and you're ready to settle some things, maybe you're in this building tonight and you don't know whether or not you're ready, you can get ready right now. Right now. I want you to push your way out of that pew where you're standing. And I want you to get down to this altar close as you can. I'm calling everybody. I don't care if this is your first service or you've been here all of your life. I want you to get down to this altar. Because the Spirit of the Lord is about to move in this place. You say, preach, I don't know if I'm ready. You can get ready right now. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Broken, contrite heart. He said, I'll not turn away. You repent of your sins. You lift your hands toward heaven. There's a God that's faithful and just. He'll pour out his spirit upon you. Push your way down here. They're still coming all over this place. Push your way on down here close as you can. Down here close as you can. Down here close as you can. Somebody's going to walk out of this building here tonight with an assurance. Can I tell you that the greatest thing about heaven is it really going to be family reunions? Can I tell you the greatest thing about heaven really isn't going to be walls of jasper? We've been shouting about it. That isn't really what it's all about. I'm looking forward to my mansion, but that isn't going to be the greatest thing about heaven. And a man said one time, he said, what if I get to heaven and it ain't like you said? I said, well, sir, if I get to heaven and the streets have potholes in them, and if I get there, my mansion is a little rough, sawed old lumber cabin down there by the river of life. If I get to heaven and the gates are like a picket fence, as long as Jesus is there. I said, as long as Jesus is there. John said in Revelation 7:9, I beheld that great number and
You know, he didn't make any reference to them staring at their reflection in streets of gold. Doesn't even mention them looking for friends or family. He just said, I saw them making a beeline to the throne. And they were clothed in white robes. And he said, they were crying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God. If I get to heaven and Jesus is there, Jesus will be what makes it heaven. What makes it heaven for me? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed in this place. No, nobody's looking on. I'm asking you, close your eyes. Even children, close your eyes. I want you to be respectful to the Spirit of the Lord that's moving in this place right now. I know I'm preaching to a majority of people that Holy Ghost feel fire baptized. You've already been born again, water, spirit. But I want to talk to that one right now that's standing in this building. And if your next breath were to be your last, you don't know. You be honest with yourself and with God right now. You really don't know whether or not you're ready to meet God. If you'd be honest with yourself, you know. You've been playing games and kind of been in and out, and you come to church, you praise God enough to blend in and get by, but you know your heart's not right. I'm going to give an altar call right now to some people that for the next few minutes, I don't want you to think about anything. I don't want you to think about anybody. But I want somebody right now to begin to repent before the Lord. Come on, that's it right now, right now, right here, right now. Say, God, forgive me of my sin. Search my heart here tonight, Lord. Cleanse me. Make me new again. In your own way, with your own words right now, I want you to talk to him. Come on, talk to him. God isn't looking for a fancy prayer. God isn't looking for words of ritual or rhetoric. He's looking for somebody. Say, yeah, the devil's been fighting me. The enemy's been warring against me. But I can't go back to the world. I can't go back to the life I lived before. I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to forget about who's standing on your right or left before or behind you. I want you to talk to him right now like you were talking to your best friend. Come on, intercessor. I need you to lift your voice right now and help me pray. I need some of you that have been in a prayer closet that know what it is to stand in between the porch and the altar. There's somebody standing beside you right now that's not ready to meet God. And the way you're praying right now could determine where they spend eternity. Come on, somebody open your mouth. Somebody feel some urgency in this building. Come on, that's it, young people. Open your mouth, lift your voice and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach over, lay a hand of love on somebody's shoulder. And I want you to begin to pray for that person. I mean, pray for them like it was your mom or your dad. Pray for them like it was your brother or your sister. I want you to pray the prayer of an intercessor right now. The enemy's doing everything that he can to keep them from making heaven their home. But somebody's about to stand in the gap. Come on, close your eyes, lift your voice. Help somebody, help somebody, help somebody. You don't know the things they've been fighting. You don't know the devils that's been warred against them. One that walked in this building said, it's my last service. I'm never going back again. The Spirit of the Lord is reaching for you right now. Lay your hands on your brother. Lay your hands on your sister. Help somebody. I feel some strength coming in this room right now.
I feel some faith being renewed in this room right now. Somebody's getting ready right now. I said somebody's getting ready right now. Somebody that walked in this service bound, about to leave here delivered. Walked in here discouraged. There's an encourager in this place right now. Backslider. Sinner friend. Time to get your heart right with God. It's time to get your heart right with God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Help somebody. Help somebody. I want you to take those hands. I want you to lift them toward heaven one more time. And I don't want you to beg God. I don't want you to plead with God. I want you to begin from the very depths of your soul and the very most innermost part of your being. I want you to begin to praise Him. I want you to begin to bless Him right now. Come on, there's something about to happen in this place. I feel some chains breaking off. I feel some fetters about to be loosed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every power, I bind every principality, I bind every spirit of weakness in high places. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, there's a shout about to go up in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I feel a praise coming up out of your spirit. Oh, I feel it in this place. Throw your hands in the air. And one last time, lift your voice and shout unto God. Help me, help me. Praise Him if you're going.
Praise Him.
You ought to praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
If God has been so good to you, you ought to
devil, you're a liar.
Praise Him.
You ought to praise Him.
Praise Him.
Come on and praise Him.
Praise Him.
You ought to give God praise.
Praise Him.
Come on and praise Him.
If God has been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your
feet. Would you reach over one more time? Lay your hands on the shoulder of your brother, your sister, and begin to give God some praise for where we're going, where we're going, where we're going. Anybody going to heaven?
Praise Him.
Come on, church, there's people getting the Holy Ghost in this place.
Praise
There's some people getting the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody's getting ready to go. Somebody's getting ready. See somebody pray and just stretch your hand to water and believe God all over this building. Stretch your hand to water and then believe God. Somebody's being delivered. Somebody's being set free. Somebody's being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Praise Him. Praise Him.